This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, March 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. The Colorado Department of Revenue has announced it will extend individual income tax day to May 17th. This is the same as the Internal Revenue Service extension. Individuals will have the extra days to complete tax forms without penalty or interest. The extension does not apply to C corporations, partnerships, S corporations, fiduciaries, or severance tax. Individuals who received unemployment benefits in 2020 and already filed federal returns should continue to monitor guidance from the IRS with the recent passage of the American Rescue Plan. The first of three campaign finance reports are in for the April 6th City Council election in Grand Junction. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the eight candidates have combined to raise more than $75,000. With less than 3 weeks before the election and ballots already being mailed out, some candidates are reporting sizable contributions. Five of the eight have raised more than $10,000, with Mark McAllister leading the field at around $17,000 and Abe Herman not far behind at $13,500. The vast majority of contributions have come from individual donors, though some candidates receive donations from nonprofits, LLCs, and one political action committee. Ridgeway's town council has canceled their April election due to a lack of candidates for open seats. The Ouray County Plain Dealer reports three current councilors submitted petitions to run again for council, but an additional open seat held now by Mayor Pro Tem Eric Johnson remains available. The City of Montrose approved a proposal last week for improvements to La Raza Park in one of the oldest neighborhoods here, known as Tortilla Flats. The Montrose Press reports the upgrades include a new basketball court, new solar lighting, seating, and sidewalks. The Public Works Department has told residents in the neighborhood that work will be done in June. And the 42nd annual Crawford Pioneer Days will be back in the saddle this year. The Delta County Independent reports all events, including the baking contest, parade, live music, and street vendors, will be scaled down for June 11th and 12th. The pandemic appears to be trending downward in the county, which has entered the blue level on the state's COVID dial. Organizers for Pioneer Days are hopeful they can proceed with the early summer outdoor event. Governor Jared Polis has signed a pair of bills he says will help Colorado prepare for another dangerous fire season. KVNF's Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
The measures will invest more than $50 million in wildfire prevention efforts on the heels of Colorado's worst fire season on record. The biggest is a military-grade helicopter that carries more water and flies faster than the ones the state usually calls in to battle the flames. Polis says it is needed because the fire danger continues to grow.
We are in a statewide drought. We appreciate the recent snow, but we're still not at our normal snowpack. And I think it's wonderful that the legislature came together around giving our first responders another tool.
One of the bills will also send money to local governments so they can remove dead trees and take other steps to prevent fires. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Polis also signed a bill to spend $20 million on improvement projects at a dozen state parks, including Ridgeway State Park. Some communities in the West that are solely reliant on groundwater are starting to run into problems. That's the case in Moab, Utah. The tourist hotspot gets most of its supply from an underground aquifer. But recent studies found there's less water than previously thought, and that's led to a reckoning over development and the virtues of conservation. From KUER in Utah, Kate Gretzinger has more.
Moab's water starts as snow on the nearby La Salle Mountains. It trickles underground towards the town over thousands of years. But no one knows exactly how much is in the aquifer or how much is coming out.
There's a pretty good groundwater monitoring system in the valley run by USGS, but we don't have any monitoring wells up here.
That's Mark Stilson with the Utah Division of Water Rights. He met up with some colleagues and local residents on an empty lot above Moab. They're using a camera to scope out an old well that they hope to use to monitor the aquifer's water level.
Going down, we're all the way down a foot.
Stilson's job is to figure out how much water can be withdrawn from the aquifer each year. That's called safe yield. It needs to match the amount that's entering the aquifer, like a bank account, so it's not overdrawn. This new well could help establish that number, but the clock is ticking. A report came out last year that found the amount of water going into the aquifer could be close to what the city is using right now. John Weishite lives in Moab. He's the head of a nonprofit called Living Rivers, and he's really worried about the aquifer. We meet up at a grassy park on the south side of town.
Hello. How are you?
The park is also the site of a natural spring.
In a way, we're monitoring right now. This spring is flowing, and even though that's not connected to a satellite or electricity, it's telling us right now things are okay.
Weisheit says the new study confirmed his fear that Moab is much closer to overdrawing its aquifer than most people want to admit. But he opposes water-saving measures on their own, which the city council is exploring right now.
Of course, we need to conserve water, you know. A tree only needs 10 gallons, not 20. But if they take those 10 gallons and build another house, then why should I conserve?
Instead, he thinks the city should stop new development before implementing any conservation requirements. But that may be too late, says Rosalind McCann, a professor of sustainability at Utah State University Moab. She says Moab is going to have less water in the future, regardless of what happens with development, because it's in the middle of a global warming hotspot. Her solution? Do more with wastewater, like the system she has in her yard.
So this is directed towards the roots of the Utah giant cherry and then the...
Used water from her sinks and laundry machine is piped into her garden, which is full of flowering plants and fruit trees.
Currants, irises, and lavender, just loving gray water.
McCann thinks systems like this should be required on all new development, along with systems to capture rainwater. But she says she understands why people are hesitant to conserve, especially if there's no transparency about where that water is going.
I think that falls on the shoulders of government employees to communicate what the plan would be if X amount of water is conserved. Where is that water going to go?
Like, is it refilling the aquifer or going to new growth? That's where Mike Duncan comes in. He's a city council member in Moab who's becoming an expert on water issues, and he agrees that Moab's aquifer is in danger. But he says the city doesn't know how much water it's giving out right now.
Every time we accept a new application from a new hotel or a new subdivision and so forth, it's basically a promise that we're going to have water for you indefinitely far into the future. I'm feeling queasy about that.
To fix it, he wants the city to start attaching a set amount of water to every building application it approves. Duncan says the idea would allow Moab to track how much water is going to new users, and it would force them to conserve.
Basically, you're going to put water conservation controls in there for everybody. Okay, so the burden of conserving water is shared equitably across the board.
But he says what they really need is that safe yield number. Because until Moab knows how much water is in its bank account, there's no way to avoid going broke. I'm Kate Gretzinger in Moab, Utah.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. Donate in support of news during our spring membership drive. Call 866-KVNF now. I'm Gavin Dahl.